All right, well, I'll let you decide if it's dessert, if it's savory, if it's good, if it's bad. It's one way or the other, it's coming from Deuteronomy 7, so let's go there. That part won't be bad, I can tell you that, whatever we read in here. Well, I have enjoyed my time here with you, and so thank you for everyone. Who helped to make the meeting happen here. We do special meetings at our church as well, and so we're familiar with the work that goes into it and the nursery shifts that must be taken. And thank God for the ladies who serve there. And the men's breakfast, guys up here early on a Saturday morning, you know, cooking. Appreciate you guys, whoever you were. I'm not sure. I think Brother Sadik made a pretty mean egg bake. That was good. I liked that. I'd never had an egg bake like that before. It was egg bake and kind of like biscuits and gravy egg bake. Boy, that was something. That was a combo I didn't know that you could have, but pretty sure that might be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I heard a guy one time say that he knew what we were going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know what he said it was? Fried chicken and tapioca pudding. And then he was like, do you know how I know that? Because I've put in a request. Have you put in a request? I don't know what it's going to be, but it might be fried chicken's pretty good, but I don't know about that tapioca pudding thing. No, it's probably some lady's specialty here. Sorry about that. It was at the last fellowship here, you know. The men's breakfast, I appreciate that. The special music's been great. I appreciate that. Even the special here tonight, like seeing the young ladies up here singing, and just a blessing. It's been good to me. I appreciate Mrs. Stevens, the gift basket at the hotel. And that was really good. I think I liked everything in it. Chomps, wheat thins, fruit, even those antioxidant, whatever they are, I love those. The Power Up Trail Mix, those are awesome. Those are my favorite. So someone was being led of the Spirit when she put that basket together. And that's been really great. I just appreciate everything. And of course, I've enjoyed the fellowship thus far. The night's not over, so I guess there's always a chance that could change. We haven't had the hot dog fellowship yet, you know, so the jury's out on how good the fellowship has been. Appreciate the great attendance. And I know it's a lot to come out night after night. And I hope it's been worth it for you. And also your attention to the preaching. I appreciate that. So I don't plan on keeping you long here tonight. We're just going to look at one dominant truth here in the Scriptures. It's pretty simple. And then we're going to go eat hot dogs in the rain together. Be a good time. One thing I will say is when I came here, and I kind of had a sense on the way down here, I was praying on the drive down here and praying just about the direction of messages to preach and asking the Lord. I'd prayed, of course, before and asking the Lord to lead me and what sermons to preach while I'm here. And I sensed immediately when I got up here that the pulpit was warm. And when I arrived Thursday evening, and what I mean by that is that it was evident to me that the church had prepared for this meeting. And it's not that way everywhere. And I could tell that people had prayed. And people were ready to receive. And so thank you for that. It's made it a lot easier to preach. And the truth is that in your Christian life, you get out of it what you put into it. And if you enter a meeting, God can speak and He can soften your heart. And I understand He does that to all of us with the meeting throughout the meeting. But if you can enter as best as possible with a ready heart, and a ready mind, then God will feed you. And it makes it a lot easier. My dad kind of took, I've given a little bit of his testimony, he kind of took an extended trip into the Bible-believing world. He didn't hook up with what we would consider Bible believers right away. And we kind of took the route through some fundamentalism and through some of the Jack Hiles crowd and even into the BBF crowd for a while. And to some extent, even into like the Jack Wood crowd. And, you know, there's just different crowds. And one of the things that my dad taught me through that, and eventually, you know, we kind of got into the world that we're now in, is through that, my dad taught me that you can get something from anyone if you have a heart to. And if you just arrive with a critical heart, then God will answer you according to that. But if you're ready to receive, and the man gets up with the Word of God and preaches the Word of God, then you can get something. And so I appreciate that. It's been evident to me that that's here. Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter number 7 tonight. Let's look at verse number 1 and 2. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And that's kind of saying something, considering the amount of people that the children of Israel in their armies were bringing into Canaan. Verse number 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. And Lord, we ask you just once again, thank you just for the weekend that we've had together. And thank you for the common faith that we share through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you for the King James Bible that you've given us and the truth that's contained in it. I pray that you'd use it tonight to speak to us your words. And give us one last time, Father, just a little bit of help and encouragement from your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, you always want to keep in mind, whenever you're in the Old Testament, Romans 15:4 tells us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Our learning, right? That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And one of the things that is interesting to me more and more when I read the Bible, is learning how our God operates, like how he works. The Bible says that of God, that his way is perfect. In another place, that's in Psalm 18. Another place it says that his ways are past finding out. And so we're never going to understand all of God's ways and figure them all out, but I, for one, am enjoying the process of learning about our God. And there's many places in the Bible, I'm still, do you ever get to those places in the Bible, you're like, what is going on there? Right? And why did God do that? There's a lot of those in there for me, and some we'll figure out, and some we may never figure out, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways than ours, and all of that, you know. And but there's a lot to learn about him in his ways, and the longer we follow him, the more we learn. And the more we learn about them, what great peace and joy and contentment they can bring to our hearts. When we understand what he does, and why he does it, and how he does it. And when we get to Deuteronomy chapter 7 here, this is the children of Israel are about ready to go into the promised land. And Moses, their leader, he's not going to go with them. But in this chapter here, he gives some prophecies and warns them of some things concerning the new venture there. Now, when we think about the land of Canaan, sometimes devotionally, it's taught or even sung that Canaan is a picture of heaven, right? I am bound for the promised land, I am bound. Every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan, right? More appropriately, it probably should be viewed as the place of victorious Christian living. That is, we've been delivered in type from Egypt in type, the world. We've been saved. Now we're moving forward with the Lord leading us to gain victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Right? Salvation out of Egypt, now sanctification in the land of Canaan. And this is what God wants. God wants to bring us along. Look in verse number 1. It says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to bring us some places. He has a plan for you as a person. He has places he wants you to go and people he wants you to see. He does. And he's always looking to work in your life. And we're not always aware of that, that he's doing that. But you can be sure that even when it appears that he is not working in your life, he is. The book of Esther, the wonderful book of Esther, is a great demonstration of that truth. You can read the whole book of Esther. You won't read the word Lord. You won't read the word God. And yet God's handprints are all over everything that's going on in the book of Esther. And he's working in the lives of Mordecai and in the life of Esther and Ahasuerus and even Haman. And our God is not disinterested in your life. And you should never believe that, that he isn't. He's very interested in it. Psalm 34, verse 5 says, the eyes of our Lord are upon the righteous. If you're saved, you're righteous in God's eyes. And his eyes are on you. And that can be a little bit of a, ooh, an intimidating thing. And to some extent, that should instill in us the fear of the Lord. But that can also be a wonderful thing. And he's always watching me, and he's always watching over me. And we read further in the scriptures that not only are his eyes on us, we read that he doesn't take them off of us. In Job 36, 7, he withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. Whoa. You'd think God has a lot to do, and yet his eyes are on you, and he doesn't take them off. And there's always something he wants to do. Notice in verse number 2, he wants to bring us someplace. Notice verse number 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver thee from before them. And so he wants to bring them, he wants to bring you, and he wants to bring some deliverance into your life. That is what God wants to give us certain victories. Paul spoke about this. He said, I've been delivered from so great a death. And then presently, the Lord doth deliver me. And then he said, looking to the future, of course, he will yet deliver us. And God wants to deliver you from some things. Does he want to deliver you and give you victory over sin? Certainly. Sin hath not dominion over you, is what he says. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. He wants to give you some deliverance from that. He wants to give you victory over fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He wants to give us victory over our own ignorance. I would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant. He wants to give us victory over little faith. Be not faithless, but believing. He wants to give us victory over invasive thoughts. That's a big one today. Casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself against the Lord, there in 2 Corinthians. Now, there's a little bit of an issue, so God wants to help us out. He wants us to give us some victory and some deliverance. But there's a little bit of a problem, and that problem's with us. Look in verse number 17, where he says this. God has a plan, but he says, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I. And sometimes this is how it can be with us. This is more than I. There's just too many of them. I don't know if you ever feel that way. There's a lot of issues I have. I thought I was doing pretty good until I came to revival meeting. And then I found out I have all kinds of issues. And then I went home and my husband reminded me what issues I have. And my wife reminded me what issues I have. I got a lot of things to work on. We had this revival meeting and Pastor Haveman came in and preached that we should tune out the many voices in our life. So there went the podcast that I loved. can't listen to that anymore. He ruined that for me, you know. And then he preached that our ministry here is under attack through the subtleties of the devil, and that he can get me to turn against my brother or sister in Christ. He can even get me to subtly turn against my preacher. So I got to be thinking about that. And then he told us at the men's meeting we should be in one accord with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then in the evening he told us I got to orient myself in the place of God's blessings. And then I came to Sunday school this morning. I realized I got to have one over me. I got to have one beside me. I got to have one under me. I don't know how I'm going to keep all this straight. That's a lot to do, preacher. Look at 17 again. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? There's just a little bit too much for me to work on. If we're not careful, we can easily get overwhelmed with our own shortcomings and the things that are pointed out and give up on what we learned before we even start, and defeated before we even begin. And I hope that that's not the case here. I hope Monday morning you're not defeated before you start to work on some of the things that God has spoken to you about. And we may not say it to others, but it says in verse number 17 that we say it in our heart. And our heart just sort of gives out. But there's something I want you to see. Look back at verse number 1. When we say that, when we think that, boy, there's a lot for me to take care of, and I'm not sure that I can dispossess these. There's something that we need to remember. You are right. There are too many things, and you can't dispossess them. Notice that you're actually in agreement with the Lord. What he says at the end of verse number 1 is that, yeah, these seven nations are greater and mightier than thou. they're too big for you. And you're right. You're not going to get it all together. And you're not going to defeat them all. And so when you say that, there's too many, I can't, God says to us, that's true. They are too much for you. They are too mighty for you. You can't get the victory here, but there's something that you should remember. They're not too big for him. And they're not too many for him. And they're not too great for him. And so even when he says down in verse number 20, he says, boy, I'm going to help you with this, driving these things out. He says, moreover, the Lord thy God, I'll just call those hornets among them until they that are left hide themselves from thee and be destroyed. I'm going to help you out. And that's what God wants to do. He's going to help you out. So don't get overwhelmed, because you have a God who is going to help you out and wants to help you out. And here's how he's going to do it. Look at verse number 22. And this is really the heart and the conclusion of the message. Look at verse number 22, where he says this. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. He's going to give you some victories. And here's how he's going to do it. By little and little. That's how God's going to do that. He is going to do it little by little. God's not going to make you work on 15 things all at the same time. Generally, there's one thing that he's trying to work on and develop in each one of us at any given time. He doesn't expect us to do it all at once, just a little bit here. And when we get through that, then we'll work on the next thing, little by little. You know, there are things that change for us all immediately at salvation, certainly on a spiritual level, right? Standing before God is completely changed. Eternal destiny is changed, right? Some people even experience immediate changes in their life, their physical life, right away with the help and the strength of the Holy Spirit, right? But then after that, as we have this old man in the struggle with it, we find that things fall off just little by little. And there are some things that might be big in your life right now. Don't be discouraged. Pray about it. Yield yourself to God. Stay in His Word. Stay in church. And I would venture to say, if you do that, in 5 years, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I don't know exactly how that all happened. I just don't struggle with that anymore. God helps you little by little. And why does he do that? Look at verse number, verse number 22. He says, "And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee." You see, Israel had to grow into their new digs. They had to gain strength. They had to get larger. And God knew how much they could handle at any point in time. And even when we think, well, I'm going to get in, I'm going to take care of all of this, His plan is to help you little by little until you get enough strength to take on the next thing. And you put one thing behind you, and then you take on that next thing that He has for you. Now, the Chinese proverb goes something like this: "He who chases two rabbits catches neither." And that makes sense. For me, if I chase one rabbit, I catch neither. But, well, your attention's divided. You can't catch them both. Okay? So what am I saying here tonight? If God spoke to you this week, grab a hold of that one thing. That one major thing that He's trying to deal with you about, and just start there. Okay, and don't get overwhelmed with, oh man, I got to do this, that, and the other thing. Okay, what's the main thing that You're trying to impress upon me that I need some victory and that I need some help and that I need to work on? Okay, God, let's start there. And you know what you'll do if you kind of can get in that mindset a little bit? That'll really help you have some grace and compassion with one another. Because there might be some area in your life that God has dealt with you about and you've gained victory. And that's wonderful. And He has driven out some things in your life and maybe added some other things, and you're at this point in the road. And then you look at your fellow believer and they might not be there yet. And there are things in their life that just simply haven't been driven out yet. But you know what? There's some things in your life that haven't been driven out yet either. You just trust God to bring them along at the pace that He's bringing them along and drive the things out in their life. And you trust God to take you through the things and drive the things out that He's speaking to you about. I'm watching people in our church right now in their 70s and 80s go through things. It's remarkable. And good, great Christians, like amazing examples to me. And yet, I see things that they're going through, and I can see that God is, even at 70 and 80, just fine-tuning them a little bit and putting them through little things and just, you know, making them into that perfect man and conforming them into the image of Christ. This doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. So at any point in time, God's probably generally trying to work on one major thing in your life and trying to maybe drive some things out and give you some victories. And just trust Him in that process. And trust that He knows what He's doing. And as He moves you on to the next thing, just follow Him there. And I've learned to simply accept now at this point in my life what He's working on my heart right now about, and not worry too much about all the other things that are going on, and just walk with Him through that. And then let Him bring about, once we get through that, the next thing that's going to come my way. Okay? So just trying to encourage you here this evening that this is the way that God plans to bring victory into your life. Just a little bit at a time. Okay? So just stay the course. And stay in. As we talked the other night, let's be on that right road so we can reap those rewards that are coming from being faithful on that right road. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you tonight.